Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
So how would you feel if, and I mean not just you, Lee, but like the whole world, if Russia, nuclear-armed country, said, you know, we are thinking about it, and we think that restarting the Cold War would be a good idea. How do you think that'd go over?
Oh, probably not too good.
There'd be panic, fear, right? I mean, it'd be big news. I mean, it'd be people'd be worried about it. Well, that's what China said. They're a nuclear-armed country. But they're also a country that we know for a fact, if they did not themselves deliberately release the virus after weaponizing it, and there's very, very good evidence that they did, we know for a fact that China, the way that China used this virus, Libby, because we know now that they had internally shut down Wuhan, were not allowing travel out, but they were allowing flights out, international flights, as long as they were leaving China. So you could not fly within China from the infected area out, but you could fly into the rest of the world. And then they even went so far as to lie about the transmissibility of this when they knew darn well it was human to human, and to threaten countries that blocked their flights while at the same time lying about the transmissibility. So, you can say that they deliberately spread this to the world. That is what you do with a bioweapon. This is a country clearly willing to use a disease against the rest of the world to achieve its aims. And now they're saying that they are headed toward a new Cold War with us. Have you noticed the media is completely incurious about this?
Oh, yeah. Well, they're not curious about anything with regard to China or Russia other than things that they can try to tie to the Trump administration. There's no journalistic curiosity about any other story. I mean, look at the whole ties with the Biden campaign to China, with his son to China, and you hear zero about this, absolutely zero from the mainstream media about any of this.
You can say this beyond a doubt, they deliberately infected the world with this. Deliberately infected the world, encouraged the flights, threatened countries that stopped them. This was deliberate. That is an act of war. When you back it up with, saying, hey, we're headed toward a new Cold War with the U.S. Well, we know they have thousands more of these viruses in these labs. They've told us in their own videos. They've cataloged over 2,000 of them. We know that. We know for a fact, also read in The Guardian 2 weeks ago, we know for a fact, thanks to the Five Eyes report, they were working on teaching viruses. They were doing this in Australia. They were working on teaching viruses to jump, and coronaviruses, to jump from animals to humans, that normally that they would not do that. We know that. When they say Cold War, I hear, are you going to release another one? You going to do this on purpose? What the heck will that look like? I mean, this is terrifying.
Well, listen, I have a differing view on world events. We have been back into a Cold War pretty much since almost past a half decade with China and Russia. And by this, I mean that we see the development of high-tech weapons, whether they are nuclear, hypersonic missiles, or whatever, from the Russians and the Chinese. China is working on space-based weaponry. Obviously, you've got this whole issue with the coronavirus. We have got economic issues with China. They are still stealing intellectual property on a regular basis. They are basically using extortion to force companies that want to do business in China to open factories in China, build the things there, and allow the Chinese government to take over that intellectual property and to to retain possession of those manufacturing facilities. We are in an economic space and defense cold war with China, and yes, still with Russia as well.
It gets worse, though. Do you see what they just did to Australia? The Chinese government, saying that they're in a cold war with the U.S., threatened Australia.
Mm-hmm.
Chinese government has warned Australia to distance itself from the U.S. amid growing tensions between two countries, saying it would be extremely dangerous for Canberra to get involved.
Yeah.
China is Australia's largest trading partner, while the U.S. is one of, this is from an Australian publication, our four key strategic allies.
Mm-hmm.
But Beijing says any show of support for the latter, meaning the U.S., will deliver our economy a fatal blow. Did you hear that over the weekend?
No, of course not.
I mean, this is bad. You would think like, okay, we could probably totally justify like, say, one congressional hearing about this, right? No.
Not in the U.S. House.
Nope. Oh, by the way, and that's after China took to threatening U.S. senators by name, which no one cares about.
Oh,
either.
Yeah, exactly.
It's totally
fine. Another very tasteful thing there, yeah.
Right, yeah, that was great. So Democrats last week again blocked a China investigation, even after the communist regime threatened U.S. senators by name.
By name, yes. Called them out by name.
Mm-hmm.
Anybody that was in opposition to or said anything critical of the Communist Party was defended, or at least that effort was blocked by congressional Democrats and the media.
And you can only assume that, again, the Democrats and the media are fine with this.
Apparently so.
Because there's no price to pay here whatsoever. I mean, it's truly terrifying. If Joe Biden wins, China rules the roost here. It's bad. I can't underscore the threat of that. Here's another thing, and this is not the way we've typically looked at war, right? In Virginia, there's something actually really good going on there. There is a public-private partnership, and I'm going to tell you why they have it in a minute, Lee, because it's shocking. There's a public-private partnership going on to make drugs in the U.S. again, okay? Because so many of our drugs aren't made in the U.S. anymore.
Yeah.
They're made in China. Okay, why does that take a public-private partnership? That's usually my first question, right? We're capitalists. We can do it. Well, we can't. We can't do it. And you know why we can't do it without
why
the government help? I'm going to actually argue that. This is going to shock you. Rosemary Gibson, who sits on the board, explains. She said the minute anybody opens, and this she wrote a great book on this. If you want to read it, I've actually read parts of it. It's quite good. It's called China RX, Exposing the Risks of America's Dependence on China from Medicine. And she said, the problem is, if we were to open so much as an aspirin factory here, this is why vitamin C isn't made here, aspirin isn't made here, the most basic stuff. She said they would immediately be targeted by the Chinese who had used those NAFTA loopholes to flood the market specifically with whatever drug it is. And they would subsidize it, as I've told you before, the Communist Chinese Party does this. They would subsidize it at below the cost to make it, and the factory would go out of business. So, Lee, what does it say? We cannot even open pharmaceutical production facilities where we actually manufacture them
in
the U.S.
That's got to change.
Without government partnership, because the Chinese will immediately come in with goods that are, you know, that they are subsidizing to shut that down.
That's economic warfare.
That's economic warfare that threatens our health directly.
I would say that's a national security concern.
Yeah, it's a huge national security concern. But there's no interest in Congress. They just want to pretend it's not going on and go back to business as usual.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Oh, good. Marcus is back, one of our listeners, from Murder Beach, as he calls it. Tara, I was worried about him on Friday. He was going to go. They gotta pull themselves together. Folks, why am I trashing Murder Beach? I used to live there, so I know a few things about it. And I was on the radio there. And I got to tell you, I mean, it's grinding stupidity out of there. We got all this natural gas, got all this oil off the coast. Yeah, the price of oil is low right now, but if we start the drilling process with just exploration, it'll take years before we drill. It's COVID thing will be done. Oil prices will be back up. And if you don't want to drill for oil or even explore for oil off the coast, how about natural gas? Got a ton of that. That doesn't spill like oil does. It's gas. What if we could explore? They've got new modern platforms you can't even see from the top of a 5-story hotel on the coast. You can't see them. Can we explore? No. Okay, that's a problem, y'all, because Horry County, where Myrtle Beach is the number one most years donator to the state revenue coffers. Tourism is huge here. You think it doesn't affect you because you live in Greenville? It does. And if Myrtle Beach can't pull the weight, we got a problem. And right now, they can't pull the weight. Absolute devastating tourism numbers. I've told you about last week, down hotel room nights down 42%. We were already seeing year-over-year declines. The tourism industry of the state's dying. That doesn't mean it's not going to be around. It will. But it is based on an aging beachfront. The biggest draw that brings the money into the coffers has been Myrtle Beach. Yeah, there are other beaches, and I'm sure people will still continue to go. But the millions that flock to Myrtle Beach, without them, we are in trouble. And this has been a while that this has been going on. First, there was the national coverage, some of the worst sewage pollution out there. They've got an antiquated system, and they've got upriver hog farms that should have never been allowed to operate there. So the sewage level is massive when they test. That's gotten out, and now they can't seem to get through a weekend without a rolling shootout. I'm telling folks, and if you sit there and if you go to Myrtle Beach, the news is nothing but politics is nothing but, oh my God, we got to find a secondary industry. We're going to go broke. Okay, how about exploration? No. We can't even explore. No. No, I'm not talking about drilling. I mean, just can we go out and explore? No. Well, I mean, if we could explore, then we could see if there's a way to do this where it could coexist and maybe not ruin tourism. No. Okay. Well, here's Marcus's update. He did survive the weekend. Texter writes, hey, Tara, update is requested. We made it back from Murder Beach. Two shootings while we were there. We did not stay at the beach. We stayed at Legends Golf Resort. Okay, that's a little safer. Nice and quiet, so says Marcus. Well, I'm glad you're back okay with the babies, Marcus. I'm glad because I was worried about you a little bit. But this is not going to work long term. This is not going to work long term. McDisaster needs another plan, or we need to get him the heck out of the governor's mansion and get somebody who gets it. The idea that we're going to rely on tourism as a state going forward, we have an aging beach with an aging infrastructure that's the main draw, and it ain't going to work. I All right. Meanwhile, going back to this, I want to jump into this for a second. If this doesn't tell you where we are. So China has declared cold war on us. They then turned around and threatened Australia. They're to cut us off completely. Or the Chinese will deal, quote, a fatal blow, unquote, to their economy. China is Australia's number one trading partner. This after they deliberately unleashed a violent virus on the world that they could have stopped, but instead lied to the world about giving it time to get out. They blocked air travel, even in their own country, travel around the country from infected areas, yet encouraged travel out of Wuhan, including on flights. That is an act of war. And folks, let me tell you what we're going to find out. That thing came out of one of their labs. It just was on purpose. We're going to find that out. We got to figure out what happened here. Because if this was on purpose, any part of it, you think they'll do it again? No, they'd never do. Of course they would. But I want to read this to you so you can understand what we face here, because this is devastating. This comes from Rosemary Gibson. She's a board member of the company in Virginia that is partnering with the federal government to begin making U.S. medicines in the U.S. That company has had to partner with the federal government to invest hundreds of millions of dollars just to make medicines in the U.S. Why? Because we can't make it as cheaply as China? Oh, heck no. No, she says, in the years that we haven't made most medicines in the U.S., we have actually developed faster, cheaper technology with a smaller environmental footprint. We can kick their rear end. Wait, we can make it faster and cheaper than China? Mm-hmm. No problem. Well, then why on earth are we not doing it? This should scare you, folks. She says, because we can't. You can't open up a pharmaceutical factory here of any importance whatsoever or any, you know, without the Chinese coming in and demolishing it. Wait, how do they do that? I'll let her explain. Quote, we opened up free trade with China in 2000. And within a couple of years of that free trade agreement with China being signed, that's when the last penicillin plant in the U.S. closed. That's when the last aspirin plant closed. We can't make it anymore. The last vitamin C plant closed. Gibson went on, quote, bad trade deals and China came in and cheated. This is what I keep telling you. They dumped drugs. This is the Chinese Communist Party. At below market prices. They kept them low for several years and they drove out American businesses as you can't compete. She said, if you and I wanted to set up a business tomorrow to make medicines, China would come in the next day and undercut us and drive us out of business. Weaponized goods, folks. Weaponized goods. This is what economic warfare looks like. Who supports it? The U.S. Chamber of Commerce. Listen to this. You want to know who your enemies are in this order? Number one, China. Number two, U.S. Chamber of Commerce. I've told you this for the longest time. U.S. Chamber of Commerce came out after Trump subsidized the drugs just so the Chinese, so the factory can withstand the inevitable attack by China with weaponized goods, and said the U.S. must not reshore all production to the U.S. Why? Because their companies, their big multinationals, are the ones who profit from this. This big profit. Your U.S. Chamber, folks, this is the number one lobbying body, all of Congress, they spend the most. This is who owns your congressman. And what do they say? U.S. must not reshore all production to the U.S. They're lobbying for China.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
And just like that, and I knew this was a big deal when I posted it on social media because the hits went through the roof right away. Just like that, Dr. Anthony Fauci, reverse course. Now's the time to open the economy. Oh, really? Dude, based on what? As usual, he doesn't come bearing statistics, studies, projections, nothing. He quotes nothing. Have you noticed this about him? He quotes nothing. How do you know? Oh, well, I noticed that there's a lot of economic devastation. Oh, yeah. Been that way for a while. He says staying closed for too long could cause irreparable damage. Dang, that's funny. Because that is the complete opposite of what he was saying earlier in the week. He was coming up with a whole list of stuff that we could remember. There weren't going to be any more sports, at least not for a year. Couldn't be any more schools. Oh, it's going to go on forever. We're going to have a second wave. It's going to be great fun for Fauci. But all of a sudden, out of nowhere. Oh, yeah, staying closed too long could do irreparable damage. Let's reopen. Wait, what? And as usual, with no science to back it up, just like when he closed stuff down. And the world was in shock. It is. It's time to... I thought we were all going to die, according to you last week. Well, that was last week. What changed? Anybody got any clue why he did this? I knew it was coming when I saw this. I'll tell you why he did this. Somebody blew the whistle. Somebody with the power to. Blew the whistle on old Fauci. He knows. Well, who was it? J.P. Morgan Chase. So you got to understand something. And this wouldn't be obvious to you if you're not knee-deep in Washington stuff, and most people are not. J.P. Morgan Chase is a major left-wing globalist fundraiser. The CEO of J.P. Morgan Chase bundled for Hillary to the tune of $5 million. So this is the heart of the globalist financial world. I mean, the only thing worse would have been a report like this out of Goldman Sachs. And I told you about it last week. JP Morgan Chase has an analysis bureau for their investors. And here's what they found. The lockdowns failed to alter the course of the pandemic. See, here we go. Actual, like, science and stuff. Unlike, you know, what Fauci uses. And the article's shocking. You ought to read it. The article said, the study says infection rates have actually fallen since lockdowns were eased. It suggests the virus has its own dynamics, which are unrelated to lockdowns. The report said that they were imposed with little thought of economic devastation. And then they go state through state, states that stayed open longer and shut down early and reopened earlier did better, not worse. Ditto for countries like Denmark. J.P. Morgan Chase points out, Denmark is among the countries which has seen its R rate, that's the infection rate, continue to fall after schools and shopping malls were reopened, while Germany's rate has mostly remained below 1.0 after the lockdown was eased. You mean it was all for nothing? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Over 30 million jobs, near 15% unemployment rate. Yeah, it was all for nothing. Now, when the foremost virologist from the best top-ranked institutions in the world came bearing science and made these exact arguments, they were ignored. Not only were they ignored, they were censored right off YouTube. Because the only person we could listen to was Fauci. Nobody else. And the irony being, I mean, we had Stanford, Oxford, Israeli scientist, censored on YouTube by people who didn't even have medical degrees. We'll get into that in a minute. It was all for nothing, says JP Morgan Chase, using actual stats to prove it. Stats, Fauci knows he can't refute. He never had stats to begin with. They admitted this to the Washington Post, what, 2 months ago now? When the Post actually did 5 minutes of real journalism and asked them, say, you know what? What are you basing this stuff on? And the White House staff had to admit nothing, really. We don't really have anything. I mean, we look at the IHME model, but we're not really sure. We don't know why we do anything we do. Washington Post could have buried Trump with that, but he did. They didn't. They did one article and moved on. Terrified me when I saw it. So when doctors and virologists, including the guy who cured smallpox, world-renowned virologist, says, nah, this is a bunch of bunk. This is stupid. Nobody listens because they're not Fauci. When J.P. Morgan Chase speaks in Washington, people listen. So what J.P. Morgan Chase did hear was called a timeout. They said, no more. We're done. Look, we were all for crushing the middle class. We loved that. It was really funny. We loved watching the businesses go down. We didn't say a thing. But now that it's beginning to affect our purse, no more. And so when, this is a globalist calling time out. And Fauci knew he got it right away. Oh, now that I think about it, yeah, we ought to reopen. You know what his other problem was? I knew this as soon as he saw this. The media inevitably was going to ask him, hey, JP Morgan Chase says, this was all for nothing. Didn't do a thing. In fact, we did better open in terms of deaths and infections than we did closed. States and countries. He wasn't going to have an answer for that. He doesn't have one. He's never based any of this on science. He was done. He's cooked. His goose is cooked. He's finished. And that's why he reversed course. Because it was all fake. It was always fake. Now, the coronavirus is real. But the terror was fake. How do we know? CDC says. You got to believe the CDC. Remember that. You have to believe them. No matter how many times they lie to you or how wrong they are, you got to believe them every single time until they tell you not to believe them. All right. Well, let's look at this thing. Let's just take a look at this thing. Do you know what they just disclosed, folks? The actual infection, the actual death rate from this thing. Want to know what it is when you include people who show no symptoms? About 0.26%. What's the annual death rate from the flu? Average year, about 0.1. Severe flu, between 0.2 and 0.3. So where'd we end up? About the same place that you would with a severe flu. Wait, what? Says who? Me? No, the CDC. Wow. Okay, now listen to this, because this is what guts and devastates the whole idea of the lockdowns. Listen to this. The death rate for people who have symptoms and have been tested, right? So these are the sickest people. If you're under 50, you have symptoms, you've been tested. You want to know what the death rate is? The CDC. It's the CDC. It's not me. 0.05. Wait, half? The death rate of the seasonal flu? Mm-hmm. Half for people under 50. Let that sink in. All right, well, what about those under 65? Glad you asked. Ages 50 to 64, you want to know what the death rate is? 0.2%. Now, that's among the sickest. Those sick enough to qualify for a test, you had to show symptoms. Doesn't count everybody. Doesn't count the general population. That's just those sick enough to justify a test. 0.2. Well, you mean this thing the whole time had a 99.8 survival rate? Yeah, for those 64 and under. About the same as a severe seasonal flu for those who got it. Well, what happens when you factor in those who had no symptoms? It plummets to lower than the death rate for the seasonal flu if you're 64 or under. Lower? Well, shoot. Why do we stay home? Now, when you jump into the older folks, it goes up significantly. It is far more deadly for them, those 65 plus, than the seasonal flu. That is true. But there was never any reason to keep anybody but them home. There never was. And there was never a 3.4% death rate, as the WHO told us. That's why we shut everything down. But, you know, we didn't know this at the time, right? Remember, we didn't know. We didn't know. We had no idea. So we had to shut the... Oh, we knew. We've always known. I'll tell you how I know that next.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Shocking from the CDC. The overall death rate in the country, about 0.26 from coronavirus. Slightly below the high you'd hit. Well, I should say, to be fair, in the range you'd hit in a high flu season, a severe flu season. But here's the kicker. For people 64 and below, COVID-19 is less deadly than the flu. A 0.05 rate of death among those 50 and below. The flu is 0.1. In other words, half. It's half the death rate of the flu. Let that sink in. For those 50 to 64, it's 0.2. Within the range of a severe flu season. Lower range, actually. Wow. Now, what skews it upward, the overall, is that it has a 1.3% death rate among those who are 65 and older. In other words, we didn't have to do this. We could have left those 64 and below, let them go to work. Let them continue. And we could have socially distanced from older people, protected them. It's what we've done in every other outbreak, except this one. Bottom line, the CDC was not just wrong, they were dead wrong. This is the same CDC that touted a 3.4% death rate from the WHO when they knew darn well better. And how do I know they knew? See, because this is what they're going to say. Well, you know, we didn't know when we had to take precautions. No, we knew. I've told you this would come in at around 0.2, about the rate of a severe flu since February. Now, how did I know that? I'm a genius? No. I'm a closet virologist? No. I know because I read the February 21st Anthony Fauci piece in the New England Journal of Medicine. He co-authored it with the heads of the NIH and the CDC, including Dr. Robert Redfield. And it said, it was written so strangely too at the time, it acknowledged the WHO's projected 3.4% death rate, but then said that was bunk, that at the end of this, we'd see a death rate of about 0.2. About akin to a severe flu season. 0.2. Don't forget that number. So what did the CDC estimate the overall death rate likely was? 0.26. Wait, they knew that in February? Uh-huh. Redfield knew it. Yep. Fauci knew it. Yep. Why'd they write it? My theory has always been that they wrote it so that at the end of this, they could say, no, we always knew. We didn't get it wrong. We knew. They knew. It was possible to know because they did. I know because I told you. Using their words over and over and over again. Many of you mocked me. But they weren't the only ones who knew. It was possible to know. And how could you know? How could you know that the overall death rate from this thing would come in around the range of a severe seasonal flu? We have one of those about once a decade. Well, you talk to a lot of virologists. That's how you could know. In other words, you talk to somebody who is not Anthony Fauci and does not serially lie like he does. Distort. Mislead. Trump did. This is Trump back on March 3rd. The media made fun of him for this. And what he says is, look, I've talked to over 40 professionals in the field of virology. March 3rd. And this is how I know, he said, that this thing is going to come in. Well, just listen. He knew. Why? He talked to people other than Fauci.
Well, I think the 3.4% is really a false number. Now, this is just my hunch. And but based on a lot of conversations with a lot of people that do this, because a lot of people will have this and it's very mild. They'll get better very rapidly. They don't even see a doctor. They don't even call a doctor. But again, they don't know about the easy cases because the easy cases don't go to the hospital. They don't report to doctors or the hospital in many cases. So I think that that number is very high. I think the number, personally, I would say the number is way under 1%.
Way under 1%, huh? Yeah, he nailed it. Way under 1%. Got exactly right, March 3rd. Remember how he told us? How did he know that? He figured it out. No. He talked to 40 experts in the field who were not Anthony Fauci. Now, this is how Trump, remember, was mocked by the media. By the way, if Trump is being mocked by the media, usually that means 3 to 4 months from now, he's going to be dead right. This is CBS mocking Trump for that death projection that turns out to be dead on bullseye.
And it comes after Trump told Fox News it's his hunch that the mortality rate coming from the World Health Organization is false.
Well, I think the 3.4% is really a false number. Now, this is just my hunch.
This despite what respected members of his own administration are saying.
And you just do the math. The math is about 2%.
Math is about 2%. That was March 6th. It's Fauci lying. See, because in the New England Journal of Medicine, he didn't say it was about 2%, did he? He said it would come out at 0.2. Not 2, 0.2. Huge difference there. 0.2%. Not 2%. He had already written in that clip that it would come out at 0.2. About like a severe seasonal flu. So Trump knew because he talked to people who weren't Fauci. And we know Fauci knew because he wrote it down in the New England Journal of Medicine. So when you hear people say, well, you know, we didn't know, we had to act out of an abundance of caution. No, we didn't. We knew. They knew. It's a coronavirus, folks. We know the upper bounds of coronaviruses. We've had coronaviruses with 8% fatality rates in nursing homes. This one had a 1.3 among people 65 and older. Again, significantly higher than the flu. A typical seasonal flu. Nowhere near as high as some of the coronaviruses we've seen. Never before, under any of those circumstances, we ever shut the economy down. So the CDC just admitted all of this. So you don't have to be afraid to put it on your social media anymore. Just say CDC says, and everyone has to believe. It's mandatory.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.